There's no plan for this session. We're going to make that plan. As they say, we make the road by walking it. Months ago...
Start by introducing yourself, even though everybody knows you.
My name's Ted Warmbrand. I am a director of a cultural group called It's About Time, whose mission is to celebrate community-building culture. We incorporated as a nonprofit in 83, I think, when we ended up bringing Holly Neer and Ronnie Gilbert to town and filling Tucson High and ending up with some money. So I've been bringing a lot of concerts to town that fundraise for good causes over the period of from 79 on. One of the shows was in 1996 with Pete Seeger, and I found out that he had been here before once in 1960, and some of you were there, I believe. When I was mentioning this to a younger person this year about the Tucson folk singers, because I had met Clyde and Barbara and some of you earlier on, she said, "Has anyone documented this period of Tucson history?" She's studying ethnomusicology at the U, and I said, so I wrote to Clyde and I said, "Has anybody documented this?" And he said, "No, let's do it." So this is sort of a beginning, a kind of a dry run to see, like, what have we got to document? Joe Wilder at the Southwest Center says this is an important piece of history, Tucson history, and he wants to have a part of it. Celestino Fernandez, who has run the Arizona Humanities Council several times, wants to be an advisor on it. We don't know what we're going to come up with, but you're going to help make that happen, whatever we come up with, and we'll see where this goes. We're going to try to do a year of it, and you're all here. So I would like to find out, before we start and figure out what's going to happen here, how many people were part of the Tucson folk singers back at this time? Can I see a show of hands? Oh my, I'm embarrassed. A good organizer would have signed everybody on, right, and got everybody's name and contact information, and I didn't bring any paper. Just brought a banjo. And then we can find out who is here, how to be in touch with people, because we intend in the next few months to actually meet up. So everybody got to try to stay alive. That's the challenge, right? Do people want to introduce themselves? Does everybody remember?
Just a quickie.
Just a quickie. You can mention names. All right. Okay, let's start.
Bill Taxman. I moved away from L.A. in the late 60s, but I was in this outfit. I met Clyde in the summer of 1956 when I was a camp counselor at the Jewish Community Center, and the director of the camp brought him in to sing for the kids.
Gosh, we should be facing
July
each other.
56. July 56?
Okay. July 56. Okay.
Holy smoke.
All right.
I'm Carrie Ann Salyer, and I was a high school student who used to go to the songs because I felt it was a safe place to meet guys.
Jim Tate.
Barbara Elfbrandt. My husband Vern and I came to Tucson in August of 1957. And became immediately involved with the Tucson folk singers, probably because Clyde and Vern both taught at Wakefield Junior High School, and they found out that they were the only two members of the American Federation of Teachers Union there, and immediately we became acquainted and went to all the folk sings during the years that Clyde was here.
Norma Jean Scott. I'm Barbara's next door neighbor since 1962.
Cindy Jarrell. Now I have a totally other name and with a whole other story, but people from then will know me as Cindy Jarrell, if they remember.
My name's Mary Myers, and I was a high school student in the 50s and knew these folks and loved folk music and went to hear Pete Seeger and the Weavers. And it just brings back lots of memories.
I'm Chris Bondante. I am the niece of Charles and Louise Clement, who used to host the gatherings up at their house, and I remember being there. I was 10 in 1956, so I can't remember a lot, but I'll try.
I'm Rosalind Miller. In that other life, I was Rosalind Einprank, and we were, you know, participants, members, whatever you want to call it, of the Tucson Folk Singers. And I loved going, not only for the music, I was kind of tone deaf, but also to meet so many wonderful, wonderful friends that I'd known for years.
My name is George Miller, and what I remember so vividly about the original Tucson Folk Singers was Clyde Appleton singing Everybody Loves Saturday Night. So every time I hear that song, I think of Clyde.
I'm Vera Pfeiffer, and back in the day I was Vera Einfrank, and just a little kid at the Sings, and I was in love with Clyde Appleton. He was the dreamboat.
My name's Dick Barber. I went to Waitfield and started in 1954, and so I knew Clyde and Vern, and you know, I got to say that we all talk about the 60s and the revolution of the 60s, but it really got started even a little bit before, and it got started with singing. And when I went on to Pueblo, and in 1960 started at the U of A, and I had already gone to my draft board and said, here's my number, but I'm not going. And but when I went to the U of A, ROTC was mandatory. If you were a male, you took ROTC. And thanks to Vern and Clyde and Cornelius Steelink and Paul Martin and a few other revolutionaries out there, We brought song into the ROTC program, I think. At least I gave them a different melody to sing to. And it was a really interesting time. And those sessions in the student union at the U of A, you know, there would literally be, what, 200 people, Clyde? Yeah, I think so, 200, 300 sometimes. I mean, a lot of people. And we got the revolution started with singing, and some of us are still trying to revolt. I don't know. I hope we can keep it going.
I'm Tom Moore. I came to Tucson in the fall of 1960 to attend the University of Arizona, and during that time, I was attending a lot of events of Tucson folk singers and got involved in Ash Alley 241, which was a club here for a couple of years, mainly 62, 63, that period. And I have fond memories of those days, and I'm glad to see a lot of people here that were around then.
I'm Doug Halpern, and I met Clyde, I guess, in 1958 or so. I believe I was working at the Jewish Community Center as a counselor, got caught up in learning the guitar craze from Clyde, and got caught up in folk music because it was something I could do, something I could sing, I could really enjoy. And caught up with the idealism that all, I think, goes with that. Also, something that I think would probably go past, you remember being hired for a fraternity party? You and I'm blanking who it was. But you sang the first dirty folk song I ever heard.
Really?
Yes, you did. The Whore of Winnipeg. Winnipeg Whore.
That was Gil Kushner's.
You can't deny you sang, too. I mean, you have to own up to it.
I guess I did.
You did. Strong on the chorus.
You want to introduce yourself?
I'm Clyde Appleton, and and let's sing.
Hi, my name is Ellen Davis, and I'm Clyde Appleton's Facebook friend.
I would like to hear as many stories as I can, and if there's music to be made, I want to hear that too. I would love to hear what a Tucson folk singer session sounded like back then. I don't know what you would like to do, Clyde?
Sing.
Yeah. Sing.
Okay. Yes? Well, I got there in 50. I'd like to know, you know, exactly when and how the Tucson Folk Singers got started.
Let's do a song first as an intro to our story.
I got to Tucson in, I've forgotten the year, I think it was 1954. Five. Yeah, right.
Summer.
Summer of 55. And I was anxious to meet people who were interested in folk song in town. And I wrote to Sing Out magazine, and they connected me with one Sid Goodman, who knocked on my door, and he arranged for a couple of Saturday nights. We met at Vivian and Roy Seymour's house, and we had a good time, and it was kind of decided, well, let's keep doing this once a month. And so that's what happened. The earliest people, like, who were at Vivian and Roy's house had been members of a group that called themselves the Thought and Laughter Club. And the folk singers sort of supplemented or replaced, actually, I guess. Right, Roz?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's the way we got started. At that time, there weren't any college kids, but that changed very quickly. We had our meetings at people's homes, and sometimes and we began to fill up the Eisenbergs' living room, more than filled it up. And so we started more often having the folk sings, the monthly folk sings, at venues like the Jewish Community Center and the YWCA. The sings, we always had a planning meeting that anyone could come to, what we were going to do the next time, and we kept adding to this little songbook. Semi, I remember that you typed or ran off in a
ditto
machine the very first couple of times that we, but before long the group started sponsoring outside artists. I think the first person that we had here was Earl Robinson, who gave two concerts, one kind of like for kids and one for everyone. And later on, we brought Pete Seeger and
Malvina
Reynolds, John Lee Hooker,
Jenny Vincent,
Guy Carawan, Peggy Seeger.
Actually, that trio from the Moscow Festival was Guy Carawan, I think Peggy Seeger and Marshall Britton.
Oh my.
Remember that when the three of them were here? They were telling their stories about going from Russia to China.
Yes, I do. Wow. I'd forgotten that. But I do remember. Okay, let's sing a song. Everybody loves Saturday Night. D.
Which language?
What?
Which language?
Oh!
All of them.
Well, we'll start with English. my fingers are simply not going to last beyond a song or two. Everybody loves Saturday night. Everybody loves Saturday night. Everybody loves Saturday night. The original Nigerian language, one of those languages, Bobo Waro Fero Sato De. Bobo Waro Fero Sato De. Bobo Waro, Bobo Waro, Bobo Waro, Bobo Waro, Bobo Waro Fero Sato De. To Le Monde. And samedi soir, to Le Monde, and samedi soir, to Le Monde, 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 and samedi soir. Iedereen hoort lieb Shabbos vannacht. Iedereen hoort lieb Shabbos vannacht. Iedereen, 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 iedereen hoort lieb Shabbos vannacht. Is there more? Oh, todos les gusta la noche del sábado. Todos les gusta la noche el sábado. Todos les gusta la todos les gusta, todos les gusta, todos les gusta la noche el sábado. Once more on. Everybody loves Saturday night. Everybody loves Saturday night. Everybody, 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 everybody loves Saturday night. Okay. A bunch of songs that became really, you know, nationally known. We sang This Land Is Your Land, but before it became popular, and a lot of those songs, and we also sang a few songs that I never heard anybody else sing, which was kind of interesting. Like, do you remember Red Toupee?
Yeah.
It was just a funny little song by a Canadian songwriter, Art Samuels. And I don't know if I can remember all the words, but has a chorus for all of you that goes like this. Red toupee, red toupee, red toupee. A man's got a... No, I don't need that on there this time. This is a fancy...
You pull, I'll pull.
Capo, Barbara. Okay, see? The chorus goes, red toupee, red toupee, red toupee. A man's gotta pay when he wears a toupee on his head. Especially red. Let's try it again. Red toupee, red toupee, red toupee. A man's gotta pay when he wears a toupee on his head. Especially red. Folks used to call me good looking. spoke of my handsome red hair. Now me and my red hair have parted. Now my poor head is bare. So to save my pride, as I now must confide, I replaced the hair that I shed with a substitute that ain't got a root. The trouble I had with that red toupee, red toupee, red toupee. A man's gotta pay when he wears a toupee on his head, specially red. Oh, it's got more verses. I took my new girl out courting. Everything went mighty fine till we got back to her doorstep. We'd reached the end of the line. As I kissed her goodnight in that mellow moonlight, the poor girl nearly dropped dead. I lifted my hat, but not only that, I also lifted my red toupee, red toupee, red toupee. A man's gotta pay when he wears a toupee on his head, specially red. Why that thing so disgusting? I use it for dusting. Here's the advice I now spread. Don't wear a toupee, or you'll sure have to pay for that store-bought moss on your head. Like I said, specially red. One of the performers that we brought to town was Malvina Reynolds, and we learned a little, really several of her songs.
Little boxes.
Bury me in my overalls.
Bury me in my overalls.
We
yeah.
Say that a lot.
Turn.
That isn't nice.
Yeah.
It isn't nice. No hole in my head.
It is, yeah. Turn around.
Yeah. Free enterprise.
Free enterprise. Maybe you'll remember some verses. I usually remember maybe a verse of these songs, and that's about all. Let's sing a
magic.
Bury me in my overalls. Bury me in my overalls, don't use my gabardines. Bury me in my overalls and in my beat-up jeans. Give my suit to Uncle Jake, he can wear it at my wake. And bury me in my overalls. The Undertaker will get my bones.
The Undertaker will get my bones.
And what is left will have to go for one of those granite stones. But this suit cost me 2 weeks' pay, so let it live another day and bury me in my overalls. We could probably reconstruct most of those words of songs that we knew.
Clyde, did you sing them again and again?
We did. We'd have new songs added each time, but we'd go back to, and also like there was always a formal, isn't quite the right word, but a program that had been decided on, and new songs, etc. But I think people, especially the young people who began coming to the sayings, the after saying was as important as...
we'd sing for about an hour and then there'd be a break.
Yes.
And then get together and, mm-hmm. and sing mm-hmm. some more.
And we always had like coffee and also right. from the very beginning, very interesting, and I can't remember how the decision was made, but we decided that there would be no booze at these events.
Can I ask two questions? Sure. What was the reach of the community? Was it a broad-based growing Anglo and Hispanic and upper income and lower income and students and workers? First thing. And second thing, was there ever anything that became explicitly political about it?
Oh, we sang a lot of political songs.
Oh, yeah.
We never sang the International that I remember.
How about the first question? How broadly based, even if it was a smaller group, was it brought in from all over the community or was it more concentrated, say, the university types?
Someone help me.
Word of mouth.
Yes, that's the way it grew.
You also need to remember Tucson ended at Country Club back then.
Yeah, that's right.
We were considerably smaller.
Yeah.
So word of mouth was easier?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We sent out postcards every month, I think, reminding people, or did we? Maybe not.
So did you go to the union meetings? Was there any singing for political candidates? Was there civil rights involvement? Was there anything explicit of that sort?
Well, things were happening, like in town, that individuals were involved in, but I don't think the Tucson Folk Singers as an organization, you know, ever, you know, sponsored a political event or, am I right? I think I am.
We went caroling a couple of times.
We went caroling yeah. every year.
Yeah, went to the county hospital. And then you remember when we went to the VA and the elevator got stuck past the bottom floor? Everybody was yelling, "Don't mourn for us, organize." Remember that? It went past the bottom floor and got stuck.
That's right. That's right.